Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Councilmember Edelman is excused.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
Commissioner LeConte?
Here.
Commissioner Ammons?
Here.
Commissioner Senecal?
Here.
Commissioner McCain?
Here.
Commissioner Amber?
Visible.
Commissioner Ekberg?
Here.
But are you on?
Not yet.
I am. Well, good evening, everybody. I want to echo what Chairwoman McCain said about how great it is to these joint meetings have been good, and I think we've done a lot of good work here. And actually, in terms of schedule, we're about ready to be done with these joint meetings after this meeting, which is the economic development chapter. Next meeting on November 8th, the regular Planning Commission meeting date, we'll do capital facilities and utilities. And then we'll not be meeting again jointly after that. December and January, I'll be putting all the work that we've done together as a body into one document, formatting it. I'll be sending that to the Department of Commerce and the Puget Sound Regional Council. You recall we haven't done transportation. We've got enough done that it's still fine to send it to them for early comments. The earlier they don't mind that at all. So, in fact, all that we're missing from the transportation is essentially some cost estimates for infrastructure improvements. So they'll be able to look at the policy work and be able to give us some good feedback in January. And after all the holidays are over, I anticipate that we'll be scheduling an public open house, the end of January, and have it all out there for people to come and comment and talk to us about the work that we've got so far, this draft. And then February 7th, which will be the first regular Planning Commission meeting, you'll come in without the council. You'll have the plan all in one document. We'll recap on refresh ourselves on the whole plan in its entirety, and also any changes or comments that we heard in the public meeting, in the open house, and from the state agency and the regional planning body. So that'll happen in February, and then in March, if it's the will of the Planning Commission, we'll probably be starting the public hearing portion of this. And then as you go through that, of course, it's more formal, but again, public comes in, they give you testimony in a hearing. We take that and consider that and possibly revise the draft based on that public hearing testimony you receive. And then in the end, you'll transmit a recommendation to adopt a version of this draft plan to council. And then I'm not sure how long your hearings will last. You may want to have, I suppose it just kind of depends how the first one goes and how comfortable you feel that the draft that you've got out there is pretty good. You'll get a sense of that based on how the public reacts when they come in to talk to you. So, conceivably, you could be transmitting a recommendation on the draft plan to the council in the spring, early spring, April, May, I would think, and then council will go through. They can decide whether or not to have a hearing. That will be up to them. The code, it leaves that up to you, and or whether they just want to accept your recommendation without setting public hearing. So we're really kind of coming through this. I also forgot to mention we have to do SEPA on it. So in December and January, when I put this thing out in its entirety to the state agency and PSRC, I'll start filling out the SEPA checklist, and so that will have to go to staff for review of that. So that's where we're at. And yes.
Oh, December. So does the city have plans to get somebody in and up to speed before the hearings and all that stuff?
Boy, that's a great question, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it would be awfully hard to bring in a new planning commissioner to start with the hearings.
Two of us, I believe, that are done in December.
Right.
Will we still have a quorum on the planning commission?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will
they?
Will they all show up?
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, is there a possibility that these two commissioners could just stay on? Yeah.
That's legal, but if it is,
Seven years.
I was going to say, it wasn't no 7 years.
It was over here. So they went before you.
I don't know. Probably 3 years at least. Was it an open position? Probably 4 years.
Commissioner Amber. Let's see. Now there were a couple of things, but one of them was January public hearing. Is the public going to have time to? I mean, how are they going to get to see what we've got to comment on it?
Yeah, it'll be an open house, not a hearing, and so we're going to make sure that the information is available, and then also a part of the venue and format of the open house will be smaller presentations of the policy for each of the chapter, but the public will have the full text available for review in advance. Yeah.
And you're already talking April, May, having it all done. Where and there are we going to get the transportation part?
Well, my hope, I know I'm maybe being optimistic here, but my hope is that the contract with DKS that's been before council, or I think coming back to council, that would be approved, and it's a very small contract, really, and that will happen while I'm in the next 2 months, January, by January, and then that will complete the packet, that'll complete the plan. They have done the 90% of it, and I'm hopeful that that they'll be hired to finish it. Right, and that'll be part of what we hope to do in the contract is to have DKS do a presentation with you on that part, because it's pretty technical, and hopefully that'll just, that'll be enough for you to be able to workshop on it at the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I want to put a schedule out there and be optimistic and hopeful, and should that not happen, then basically we stop in January, with what we have until the transportation element gets done. And then we'll pick it up when that.
How late are we with our comp plan approval?
We were supposed to be done June of 2015. So, we'll be. Yeah.
And what are the ramifications of that? As far as funding for projects and things, Carol, do you know the answer to that? Thank you. And my second question is, or comment, I would really appreciate if we could make some movement on getting these new planning commissioners in place. I know the time frame might seem inappropriate from start to finish of this comp plan, but I think from an overall perspective of, what this all entails, it's a great part of this process to be involved with. And I think being involved even at the end of the process would certainly help ramp another planning commissioner up to feel like they were effective and useful to this body. So I would see if there couldn't be some movement from the council to get some of these people interviewed and to accept some of these people. I think it's in the best interest of the citizens of Black Diamond to have a full planning commission. Thank you.
Councilmember Dee, since you're throwing out a timeline, so what if the majority of the council does not pass DKS and then they choose somebody else? So what's the ramifications on that? My understanding would be that it would then have to, the council would then, the majority would then choose another person, another company, mm-hmm. and then that company would then start over. So where would that then take us out? How far? And what does that do? So obviously, to our budget and taxpayer budget. So it's money and timeline. So what? Mm-hmm.
So if the council decides to go out to hire a new firm, then the time delay in that is, of course, the city has to go out for an RFQ, go through that process of making a selection, and that I would say realistically is going to be a month to get someone on board, and then you negotiate the schedule with that consultant. I would think that, realistically, they could probably complete it in 3 months. So you're looking at another 4 to 5 months in delay. And then the budget aspect, again, not knowing what, I guessed it would be about $50,000 because that was sort of what we looked at in with DKS and the work that they did. And one of the really complicated things about the DKS and why it went over budget and all that, all that stuff, we don't want to revisit it. It's just that they had to do some negotiation and some extra work with Puget Sound Regional Council that was not anticipated when they scoped and gave us a cost estimate. So a new firm, I'm gonna get to talk to PSRC's representatives here in the next couple of weeks, because my big concern is, on their end of things, when they were working with the DKS consultants to get us our numbers, our right numbers, growth numbers plugged in, based on the MPD activity, I want to make sure that another consultant coming in isn't going to have to start working with them all over again. I don't know what kind of institutional memory or, what kind of documentation on their end. I mean, hopefully that won't occur, but that's one of my worries, is that city shouldn't have to pay for the time to do that part all over again. So. So we are going to talk about economic development, and I'm really grateful that we've got business people here, because that's going to really help this process. The first page of this element is really just the introduction, and we go then into, the planning framework. So just a little bit about the Growth Management Act requirements. Growth Management Act requires an economic development element in comprehensive plans, but the legislature never funded it, so they've never enforced it in this plan update round. So we are doing it because we believe that it's good planning and that we should have economic development be part of, what we're planning for and considering if we really want to make Black Diamond's future a viable, sustainable place to live. So, and Puget Sound Regional Council, of course, they have the multi-county policy, and with the Vision 2040, the regional plan, we're seeing that's playing more and more into local comprehensive plans than ever before. In fact, this year, a lot of the small cities did not get PSRC to certify their plans. They got a conditional certification. So PSRC is really taking a lot more of a role in, in validating local government comp plans, and that's sort of new. They were really only supposed to be looking at transportation, but they're also looking at growth and housing and jobs, and so we want to make sure that we keep that Vision 2040 in mind and those goals. That's why I put something about them in this.
Commissioner Camper, how beholden are we to what the Puget Sound Regional Council says? I mean, because who's ever on the council, they may have biases to favor some other area, and I mean, how much can they control what we do?
That is going to be played out in the courts very shortly with the local government, local cities, and I'm going to be really interested to see what that answer is, because there's a list of them that got conditional certification, ORDIN. Actually, I'm working in ORDIN now. And what that means is that PSRC says, no, we won't approve your plan. In most cases, what they're not liking is if they feel that the small, and those are small cities, have gone over in terms of their population projections, over and above those targets that PSRC had for small cities. So I really, one of these days, I guess I should show you how the PSRC Vision 2040 works. I mean, they've created, your big cities, and then kind of like the medium cities, and then the small outliers. So they are saying, like, for example, to Covington and Duval, you need to scale back your population projection. Scale back your land use because you're exceeding what the regional plan shows as a small city. I don't know how that's gonna come out.
Get them to put the right numbers into our plan for the traffic, because our growth shows that we're gonna have 6,000 homes and the population's gonna be 20. And they still showed us at 2,500, which was their original plan 6 or 7 years ago. And so even though ours changed, they never put the MPDs in their schedule. And so now they're looking at all these cities that are growing, like Maple Valley and Covington, and they're saying, well, you can't grow this much because it's not in our growth pattern. But the thing is, you can't control growth when you have agreements with people, and unless you put a moratorium on. And most cities don't want to do that. So they're fighting it. I don't know which ones have gone to court, but.
So, there, you know, I mean, we're hoping that I've had conversation with Michael Huber at PSRC, and I've explained the situation here, and he did not work with the DKS. The DKS consultants worked with, you know, other staffers. But he said, yes, we know and we recognize Black Diamond is particularly interesting in that you're not just making these big projections based on, you know, nothing. You have this development agreement and you have this contract basically in place that you have to permit that. So I think PSRC in our case is going to look at our situation a little differently, as they should, but still we want to make sure that we get this plan to them. Even if the transportation element isn't completely done, they still want to look at it, see what we have gotten so far. And that'll be helpful for us. So in back to your question, like, well, how much do we have to listen to what they say or Department of Commerce? We have to listen. I mean, if they send us comments back and they'll find fault, like, you know, this policy is inconsistent or whatever. I mean, hopefully they won't, but whatever they bring to us, I'm going to bring back the Planning Commission and recommend that we make some changes consistent with those comments.
Why would we have to? I mean, what statute or what ordinance or whatever code says that we have to do what they say?
Yeah. Well, the state statute 3670A, RCW, it says that we're going to comply with Department of Commerce because that is, you know, that is the state, that we comply with the state. We're consistent with the state and the Growth Management Act Division and the PSRC is, I don't even understand how they got so much control, to be perfectly honest. It's got to do with the transportation monies. Nope. Yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting, but we'll see how it goes.
Commissioner McCain, just one more comment, David. It was similar to that when we worked out the shoreline management plan, because we had certain constraints here in the city of Black Diamond that we needed to provide for, but the Department of Ecology had the last say on any of those things. So I think it's normal as part of regional government or city government as it has to interface with the big picture, but it was similar to that. So just something that we're used to.
With the Shoreline Management Act, there were only two things that would not agree with us and drew a line. So, and it didn't affect a very large majority of people. It was a very small segment. So I think that, you know, we should be able to work through this. I just think that PSRC has gotten a really, really strong voice where I don't think that was ever intended.
It sort of come up as a surprise to me. Yeah. But we will see. I mean, we do have to, because PSRC is the metropolitan planning, a designated metropolitan planning official and the regional transportation planning official, they have this federal status to control transportation dollars. So, you know, if they don't certify your plan, then you would likely have an impossible time getting transportation funding. So then on, we talk about the, you know, I pulled out the King County on page 2, King County planning, countywide planning policies, because we have to show consistency with those, although the county doesn't need to approve the plan. But we have to say, yeah, we're consistent with those countywide planning policies. So those are from the CPPs, this EC5 through 17 bulleted list. And as you read our policies, you know, we're consistent in supporting those countywide policies for economic development. Then on page 2, we start to talk about our own strategies and where we came up with the information that you see on page 2 and 3 is had a little focus group meeting with a few small business people, kind of went through an impromptu SWOT analysis, which is strength, weakness, opportunity, and threats. And this is what these are some of the perceived, you know, strengths and it just kind of the perception from this very small focus group. So I think it might be useful in a larger body with more business people and council and planning commissioners to discuss these if anyone has thoughts on this. So, good.
So, Councilmember Deedy. So at the bottom, the last bullet point, some of Black Diamond's strengths include. So I just, SR 169, good highway access, I'm okay with. But the next bullet, a lot of undeveloped land. I thought it could say maybe abundance of underdeveloped land. Just sounds better. And then nice setting, I really don't like that. So I thought, you know, some like scenic or charming, welcoming, picturesque setting, something like that. And maybe we could change that. Two, and then the last bullet point, small town, quality of life that has a good feel, is cute, neat, and old-fashioned. I don't like that whole sentence there either. So I Googled some great words. So I'll just run them off quickly, and maybe we can pull a couple out we like. So tight-knit, homey, homespun, quiet, peaceful, community-minded, calm, serene, neighborly, value-centered, stable, warm, friendly, quaint, picturesque, old-fashioned, scenic, charming, welcoming, relaxed, traditional, laid-back, mom-and-pop. So community-minded I liked. Also neighborly. And if there's anything else anybody like, I just thought these bullet points just kind of didn't really describe Black Diamond. I thought they were just...
I think tight-knit is a detriment, not a strength. Because I remember when we were moving to Enumclaw, everybody said, oh, they're a tight-knit community. It'll take you 7 years to fit in there. If you're a business wanting to come to Black Diamond, and Black Diamond's comprehensive plan says they're a tight-knit community, why would you go to Black Diamond? Tight-knit is not... a strength. That's much better.
I wonder, are these come out of the small focus group, these determinations?
They were just thoughts.
Okay.
I mean, but just so, I mean, I think that we can certainly wordsmith them so that they sound better.
Okay.
And I think if, you know, it's important to kind of get a consensus here that, you know, those themes fit with, and you all think that captures the strengths here, and we can certainly wordsmith them as long as they don't lose their meaning.
Commissioner Amber, as a bullet point number 2, a lot of undeveloped land gets reduced, then all the other phrases kind of go out the window. What makes it a nice small town, quality of life, good feel, homey, and everything.
But the thing is, this is a 5-year plan we have to do it again. So in 5 years, that abundance of land will still be there. It's going to be a long time before all of that stuff is developed. So in 5 years, we do the comp plan again. And so do we, if we submit it late, is it 5 years from the late date, or is it 5 years from the original date?
That actually came up where, and I was working in Lewis County because they never got a compliant comp plan. And so we never really got that answer.
This is Councilmember Weber. I'm not real big on a lot of undeveloped land.
In general, it's strength.
I guess if you're looking at it from a business or economic development view, a lot of that land is tentative to be developed. Does that make sense? I mean, to me, this would be a statement that would fit before Yarrow Bay or Oak Point came to town. And then now, not so much, because there is a plan, this grand plan, to develop all this land that's not developed right now, but there is a plan for it. So does that really fit now? Or is there some way to wordsmith it to where that you can, you know, if I'm looking as a business, well, that's a little town. Oh, but they have this big development that's coming in and all this future growth. Maybe that's...
Maybe we could say development opportunities. I mean, even if Oak Point, you know, when they develop out there, I mean, there still are development or redevelopment activities in our core business area. Maybe that would be a better way of saying it.
Yeah, that's kind of like a past comment that would be fitting, but now it's not as...
Well, I think development opportunities is fine. It covers all the stuff that hasn't been developed and isn't part of the MPDs. And so I think development opportunities is good.
And I'm, Morgan, I'm thinking maybe here it would be better to have regional center place with regional outdoor activities or recreational, our big recreational lands around us that are pretty much locked in, like the parks, the bike, that big bike in the regional park. Something like that. And on your last one here, the community mind event, that was the only thing that really struck me in your last bullet.
Is neighborly and community minded all right with everyone? With them both?
I didn't like relaxed off the tennis court. Didn't like diamond. It's a bedroom community, so it is more laid back.
Councilor, do you also like values centered? Everybody has values here. And
I mean, we certainly can add. We can certainly add maybe other. We can add more bullets. So I'm thinking. I just heard someone say we should add recreational opportunities. Okay.
Or local regional.
State parks.
Right. And then we're going to change that. A lot of undeveloped land to development opportunities. Nice setting, goes scenic, charming, picturesque.
I like
picturesque setting. Okay. And then small. Yeah. Small town
Okay, and then maybe we want to put value centered as its own bullet?
Oh, good point.
Councilmember Deedy, I think everybody has different values. I don't think that it's discriminating against anyone. I mean, everybody has their own values, if I could say that. So I don't really.
They're good values and not bad values, or negative values.
Pepper, again, doesn't community-minded kind of cover all these things in a way that's, like, super inclusive?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
But it's up to this group here if we want to add another, or we're okay just with
Councilmember Deedy, I don't think you need to add another bullet point. I think just what we have there
okay.
is fine.
Oh, you know what? We did have the page 3, we had the amenities. We added that recreational, but on the top of page is the amenities, like the museum, boat launch, regional park. So we did have that one on there for a strength. And so then the weakness bullets. Please.
On minor,
it's ER. Spell check doesn't pick those things up for us.
Yeah. And minor stay.
Minor.
Yeah, minor stay.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so on the first bullet, black, dark bullet, some of Black M's weaknesses include. So I thought they were good. I just thought at the end of a couple of the sentences, like few places to go and not much to do in town and no draw or amenities, I thought in town would be good because there is a lot to do around us. It's just in town.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot. That is.
Lack of local schools except elementary. Could someone explain that to me a little better? Since we don't have our own school district, I wonder about what that wording is. I don't have any suggestions.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
I think that when the kind of the brainstorming focus group, they just said, wow, you know, kids have to be bused. They come here, they can go to elementary school, and then after that they have to be bused outside. And they saw that as a weakness, and I don't know how if you agree with that or not, but
so Councilmember Deedy, so one of the things that when I read lack of local schools, one thing I thought about was the fact that there's 4. I'm not sure if Auburn so much comes up all the way up here, but so there would be 5 school districts. And so a lack of that shared community where everybody goes to the same school, you know, here in Black Diamond we have so many kids that go to Tahoma, to the Kent, to Auburn.
That's a really good point.
So we don't really have that base as a community where all our kids are in one school district.
Right.
They're just
separated out everywhere.
Or the one homecoming and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
However, again, I would say you could leave the lack of local schools except elementary and maybe add due to districting. Because that's why we don't have local schools, because we're district.
So Councilmember D, so with that, what Councilmember Weber just stated, I wouldn't even say accept elementary schools, because only a certain part of Black Diamond goes to the elementary school. There's a whole other part of Black Diamond that again goes to different school districts for elementary. So it's kind of misrepresenting right there that all kids in Black Diamond go to one elementary school, but then they go out to other places.
Tahoma, so they don't go to this elementary school. Only downtown kids go to that elementary school. So
okay.
What was your Brian? What did you say?
What was your
the lack of local schools is due to districting, because that's why we don't have the schools.
You mean to say fractured school districts?
Well, I have an idea.
Or multiple school districts.
Yeah. Pepper. Served by students served by five school districts. Is it four? Or someone said multiple, but I think it's that the children, the Black Diamond students are served by five school districts, or four, or whatever it is. Multiple school districts, I think.
Yeah.
Because that it's not we're not fracturing things, but we are in a position where we are served by.
Yeah.
I mean, the students are served, but they're served by different school districts, and I think that is something people might want to take into account.
I
think that's good though, because it really is. You could see where that could be kind of a weakness in terms of cohesiveness in a, you know, in
yeah,
a
like
Councilmember like
Didi was mentioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then how you would overcome that? So that you have this community-minded community when you're done is by having non-school stuff for youth going on in town, like the gym, like whatever else we can continue to develop.
Public transportation.
That'll be a new one. So we added insufficient infrastructure, lack of public transportation is a new one. We changed the last bullet to say that students served by multiple school districts. And how?
I don't understand bullet number four.
The locations work against us because there are fewer north-south travel. Okay. I think what we need with the sentiment there was that we're kind of a pass through. We're a place to pass through. Lots of people passing through. Yeah.
I can't even get close to the highway because of so many cars going by. So we definitely don't have a shortage of cars going east and west and north and south.
So
they're all passing through.
So what I wrote is it's just that we're so far out and that we have poor access.
Poor access
to transportation, to highways.
I think that, didn't we add a Pepper? Yeah, lack of public transportation.
And I like the borough, not
a business. Yes, Councilmember Weber, could we maybe just take out number four, bullet four, the way it's, because it's worded a little confusing, but make that the statement about not being a destination and a pass-through community. Just replace that whole line with those two items.
Yeah, that really gets to what the concern was for the meeting. And so we've got the first bullet left that says small town may not be good. Second bullet is scratch. So is the fourth bullet, and it said big pastor community, not a destination. What did we want to do with the third one? No draw or amenity. In town, just add in town.
Barb, did you say that you scratched the few places to go?
Mm-hmm, yeah, not much to do.
I thought town.
I would leave that.
Just adding in town.
In town. Right.
Okay. And plus you want to say not a destination because that's where we were saying. Mm-hmm. Okay. And put in town. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And so then we added a bunch of other things here. Our weakness bullets got bigger.
Pepper, can a weakness be hard to shop local? How would you say that? Okay.
Well, it was intended to be that, yeah. So our opportunities are affordability. Okay, you see this list here. What do you think about the bullets for our opportunities?
Councilmember Deedy, that's just one change right off the bat. Would be instead of Baker, nice to have a baker in town, but
maybe
bakery.
It was supposed to say bakery.
Because there could be more than one baker in the bakery. Okay. Although, smoke shop, that, you know, you don't want to think we're. Well, to expand upon opportunities, these are opportunities that you think of them as like maybe anchor, well, destinations or kind of anchors to the community already that we would try to expand on. Yeah.
What room do we have to expand
in our park? There's land there. There's that hill.
There's three lots there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Councilmember Deedy.
Maybe you should say anchored them by.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Historic core anchored by.
That's nice.
I like that too. Okay.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so I thought maybe putting in there, you know, the bakery obviously is our focal, but you'd have to say like the famous Black Diamond Bakery instead of just bakery. But I would say, you know, maybe instead of just saying bakery, you just say restaurants. We have the bakery, we have Mike's Pizza and Deli. The Eagles Hall does food every Friday. And then I think the smoke shop also serves hot dogs or something like that.
So
we have restaurants. So it might be instead of just excluding a bunch and including one,
we
just
say historic restaurant.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea is that it's an opportunity. It's something special that they have that nobody else has.
Right. And for Mike's Pizza and Deli, it's in a historic building. And we also have the historic Morgansville. We also have Mama Pozzarelli's down there, the old dinner house. I mean, that was a destination a long time ago for everybody.
You got to list those separate because this is talking about the historic core.
Yeah.
I don't even think the strip like Black Bear Outpost is considered part of the historic core.
No, it is not.
But we want to eventually have
Yeah, okay.
And other local businesses.
Historic local businesses. Sure. How about that? Then we're
anchored by historic local businesses.
Yeah, historic local businesses anchored by. Okay. Scenic destination. I think we should maybe say plural. I mean, there's lots of destinations.
Councilmember Deedy, so I put Mount Rainier, and just like Councilmember Weber just said, you got the Lake Sawyer Regional Park. You've also got the bike trails just right outside of Black Diamond.
Parks, trails. Yeah. Okay, we'll expand on that.
You got Flaming Geyser, Mud Mountain Dam.
Unique businesses with locally produced products, such as PCCC. Guess who was in the focus group?
Yeah.
I know, I think.
Well, I thought maybe you were talking about the
No, there's just an extra C on there.
Oh.
We maybe could leave off the such as.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe we could do our own pronoun.
Unique businesses and locally produced products.
And I like that, too, because just not Palmer Cook and Cole. But, I mean, if you go into stores like the Black Bear Outpost, you go into Gracine's, and a couple other stores in town have homemade products that are locally made and sold. So
yeah,
it would be nice just to leave.
Oh, we forgot about the cupcake, too. That's pretty. You know, that's a nice little stop.
Yeah.
And so then I think maybe we should say views of Mount Rainier. Instead of the mountain at 169.
And that would drop off along 169.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be intentionally creating a lot of other
views.
Okay. Views of Mount Rainier? Okay. What's that real estate, the realtor's
spectacular
term?
Spectacular views.
No, panorama. Is it panoramic views?
No.
No, they say panorama views when you can see something beautiful from. They don't use that anymore.
Panoramics are just a big, like a 300-degree view, which we don't really
care. Oh, okay.
You just get down the highway.
Oh, okay. It's pretty spectacular.
It is spectacular.
I just wanted to mention, because it doesn't come out here, but one of the things that I've been really impressed by is, you know, when the museum does those first Saturday in February and in March or whenever it is, those hikes up to the mine, they get like 200 people going up there. That is really, to me, that's really neat, and to me it's an opportunity that we could expand on. I mean, if they put it in the newspaper broadly in the region that they're going to have this, and when you go up there, you meet people from all over the region. That's the Franklin Mine Tours. And another thing that I've run into a lot just because of where I live is people who are doing geotrekking. Not so much now, but for a while there, it was a really big deal.
Pepper here, I'd like to go back, if we may, to some of Black Diamond's weaknesses. I think that one thing we could improve on is there's no place to stay in Black Diamond if you're coming through. There's no bed and breakfast, no couch surfing that I know of, no... Is there couch surfing? Okay.
There probably could be Airbnbs for all we know, too.
Oh, but we don't. I mean, I have never seen one. You know, my sister lives in a small town, and they've got little.
After our house, I'll show you somebody surfing on the beach.
But we could put in.
Maybe that would go under amenities. I don't know.
Gotcha. That does fit.
Does it? No place to stay? Yeah, I didn't say the word hotel.
So do we feel like that's covered, though, in amenities and already?
I actually do think so, although, but I didn't think of it until now as going under there, because that's one thing. There, a lot of people are traveling, and there's we don't offer that.
Well,
so.
Have a hotel, have a
are they?
They have now is to build a hotel in Covington. So one of their developments, they have a hotel. Maple Valley turned it down. So.
Interesting. Yeah.
So are we ready to talk about our threats to work on?
Councilmember Deedy, that first sentence, public perception that Black Dam is backwards. Mm-hmm. I don't get what backwards.
I don't
like that whole sentence either. I mean, we could change that up.
What I wrote was capitalize on backward 40s to 50s culture.
Wait a minute. We don't have soccer cops anywhere.
We could get one, some real easy. We have a gym.
Pepper here. I wonder, does the chamber have like a tourist bureau that includes Black Diamond?
They do. We are part of the
chamber. Do you feel like we get our fair share of advertising? And you do? Okay.
Oh, yeah. We have like 4 pages in their booklet.
Well, I don't think that classifies us as backwards.
Well, I don't even think that should even be on here.
I think that. Probably where that came from is just some worry that outside, you know, because this is small town and more rural, that there's sort of a possibly people would see this as that as a threat, that in some way there's not a high level of sophistication. I mean, that's just
not
someone.
Not a place you want to come and open up a business.
Yeah.
I see it as not willing to work people to open up business or to have any growth at all in any manner.
I don't know, but there is a project that the chamber is doing right now, is a mapping of all the businesses in our city, and then they will be distributing it to all of the businesses in the city so they can hand it out. And I think it's a really great project to try to get more economic development. And I think that the more we could do to talk to the other businesses in town to get them to buy in to this project would be really, really, really good. I don't know if Myra came and talked to you.
Currently, there's 22 businesses that have bought in, which is pretty good for Black Diamond, because I didn't think there were 22 here. I don't know if 22. But yes, so it's actually there's 4 or 5 just in our little lovely strip mall. So it sounds like it's going very well. And yes, and it's going to be mostly online. So they're going to submit those maps. But when you Google Black Diamond, this map will come up as the number one thing, hopefully.
Yeah, I saw, was that a prototype at Labor Days that they had available? Yeah, it's very interesting to look at and a nice way to advertise your business.
So go ahead.
This is Councilmember Weber. So instead of saying is backwards, maybe the public perception is that Black Diamond lacks sophistication, maybe. Because a lot of, you know, if you're city people, you look at small town people like a bunch of, you know, hicks.
Yeah.
You know, that's not true, you know, but I'm just saying.
I think
how about just public perception of Black Diamond?
No, yeah.
And leave out.
Yeah.
That's true. Yep. We don't. Never. Negative public perception. That's good. Okay.
We're talking French.
But that's a good. That's a good. We should. Yeah. Put that under a string.
Good. We can add a string. I was. What about the rest of the threats here?
Councilmember Reed, I thought that the three next bullet points were good. I wish I didn't have to say that, but I mean, it is part of our last 10 years, I guess I would say. Yeah, that. A political struggle. So, you know, anytime I'm out, people comment about the struggles here. So I never hear anything, oh, you know, it's a great place, or, you know, other than people I know that already know the bakery or any of the shops. Majority is on the governing bodies. So
I'm sure that scares away investors.
Well, I've heard nothing but good things about the Planning Commission.
Commissioner McKee,
I wanted to say, because my business, of course, directly relates to people's perception of the attitudes and the conditions and weightiness of doing business in any location. And I think that it's going to take us a long time to unwind that, the perceptions out there. So I think it would be prudent for us if we assume that the city is going to be a city, a successful city, that we start to overcome that as much as possible. But it is out there. It is a perception. Business is complicated anyway, and a business person asks themselves, why add, you know, complication and uncertainty and delays to their particular plans to open a business?
So based on those, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that we just talked about, the next items on page 3 and 4, those are some economic development strategies that hopefully are, you know, expanding or leveraging some of our strengths and opportunities and working on addressing the threats and weaknesses. So having enough land and the right type of appropriately zoned land to support, commercial, that's obviously something that we need to have. We could have light manufacturing. In fact, I mean, think about manufacturing sectors fall into all kinds of things that. Another strategy is to streamline the permit processing center system, a timely, fair, predictable permit process is a very important strategy.
I will agree with that. I mean, you know, people who have own a business in town or are trying to get a business or just a permit to do a deck or anything, it was a struggle for quite a while. It would be good to see the city work with businesses and homeowners to figure out how to streamline that, and so that everybody understands this is where you got to go and this is what you got to have done to do it, so that it's level all the way down the board. So you don't go to your neighbor four houses down and find out they didn't have to do that, but you had to do it. Mm-hmm. So.
A lot of the ones that were left open by the previous inspectors. So I think that we're going in the right direction. At one point in time, we're going to have our own inspector when the MPDs get going, because
Councilmember Deedy again. So I'm just saying that it's good that we have it down here and that we realize, you know, that this is something that the city needs to work on. I know the mayor and I took a, when we went to that meeting, they talked about how to, yeah, the conference, how to work with businesses, how to attract businesses so that they know that you are willing to work with them, not break any laws or do anything, but understand their complexity of building what they want to do and how a city can work with them to help attain that goal. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that I'm favorable in having this down,
okay,
that the city, you know, goes forward with that, and that anybody that does come in for the permit side follows that.
Yeah, I'll just second that, and I won't belabor you, but two different parties came to me to complain about the permitting department in the city of Black Diamond this week. This week, yeah, so I won't belabor it here. But
Commissioner McCain, I think something we need to pay attention to also is our infrastructure on 5th, Pacific Street, Pacific Place. You know, these are streets that are within a stone's throw of the city shop that I have clients that have properties for sale up there, but we can't sell them because we don't have appropriate water line. There's no stormwater management. And that is very close to the core of the city that just really needs to be brought up to speed. And I think some cooperation of property owners to set up a ULID or someone who could lead that from the city to get that infrastructure up to speed, and maybe paved roads. Half that road's not even paved. So, you know, I think we can do a better job and put some things on a kind of a calendar to give some people hope. Not the property, not what I'm talking about on here on 5th and to Pacific's.
Right there, there's mine hazard all over there. At least that's what Mr. Nix told me. And we don't have it mapped properly, so maybe that's the place where it needs to start.
That's a huge responsibility, though, for the city to take on that mine mapping. But do you assume a lot of liability with that, as it has to be disclosed on people's title reports, and if it is or is not truly a threat. So I don't think the city needs to be involved in that, myself personally. But there are some infill opportunities that we have in the city that could be taken advantage of from a tax perspective if we had appropriate infrastructure in some of these older and existing areas in the city.
So I'm thinking maybe just to address that is our third checklist item here, strategy, we should add infrastructure because we've got ensure that appropriate public service and facilities. Why don't we say ensure that appropriate infrastructure, public services, and facilities are in place?
I would love that.
If you look at the next page 4, about halfway down,
I think I see it there.
Says target infrastructure investments. Yeah.
It's the east side of town
over
here.
So
yeah.
We've got it covered.
Okay.
So then fostering cooperation and coordination to ensure working together to develop and implement consistent strategies to promote economic health and diversity.
Commissioner Amber, foster cooperation.
Between city and gosh, it's a big list. That's probably why we didn't. We'd want to be cooperative and coordinate with other cities, public agencies, county. I mean,
no, they don't
local.
Need to cooperate or coordinate with them.
And citizens,
yeah.
Too.
People looking to move here or not.
But we should be, government should be
not, you know, should just the cooperating for a government to say they're going to cooperate with the citizenry is sort of a little backwards. I mean, you're there to serve the citizenry, right?
So Pepper here, but you, I like what you're saying about coordinate with other cities, with public agencies, with regional partners, so that the city has some kind of support to in order to promote, for example, economic health and diversity.
Maybe not. Maybe we don't.
But you could say health and diversity partnering with the things that you mentioned, like other cities and you said public agencies. And
I actually can see the argument for scratching. Promoting community retail trades by providing and maintaining public infrastructure and improvements in commercial districts throughout town. I'll just keep reading until somebody. Okay.
Councilor Ardivi. So promote community retail trades by providing and maintaining public infrastructure. Can it just end there and not improvements to commercial districts throughout town? Wouldn't that just be everybody? Promote community retail trades by providing and maintaining public infrastructure. Do you need that whole last and improvements to commercial districts? I mean, doesn't it already?
Well, public infrastructure and improvements just be about commercial.
Yeah, that part is. I agree. That part is because we would be doing it in commercial districts anyway, or they wouldn't be there. Yeah. Okay. Support a variety of small companies doing different things, such as small-scale clean industries, cottage-based businesses that are appropriate to the city's resources and vision.
Councilor McGee. So the whole thing doesn't really do anything, but so I say take out variety, support a variety. I take out variety of small businesses instead of companies. And doing different things. I don't. So after that, I don't understand the last.
Well, it was supposed to be diversifying. You know, the whole idea is to actually promote these cottage-based businesses that and the types of small business that we see in that they sort of don't fit in your traditional zoning areas. But they could be a really good fit because they're usually started by local people.
Yeah, in home. In home?
That one is in home. Mm-hmm.
Business / companies and cottage based, cottage-based businesses, so let's leave. Support a variety of small companies and cottage-based businesses. And just leave the rest of it off.
Commissioner Camber, but then you're going to have a lot of these, if you're saying cottage-based businesses or home-based businesses, most of these developments homeowners agreements against that, I'm sure.
In the old town, we don't. So the development agreements, you know.
figure out what this support is, consists of. And, you know, this is a really, really super, it's a 40-year-old story, but when I first came to town, you guys won't believe this, but that little house that's next door to the post office, somebody wanted to move in there to make to have a doll hospital, and the city wouldn't let them do it because it wasn't zoned commercial.
I'm saying, though, there's a lot of these cottage-based little, yeah. So we're going to change that to support. I want to make sure I got it down, Commissioner Senegal. Support a, did you say a variety of small, or did we drop the variety?
Support a variety of small companies that are appropriate for this resource.
Okay, that's good. Okay. And then the point is well taken about what do we mean by support. Right. We could encourage them. So
I don't know if we need to identify that as part of our comp plan, if that's a something that we have a lot of latitude with. I think we have zoning and all those other things that we have to comply with. I don't know that the city takes on an active role. I think it's more of a chamber responsibility.
Cities can. I'm not sure that this city has the staffing or, you know, the resources to take that on.
Years ago, we actually had a couple of here at council chambers, we invited a bunch of business to talk about what the city, because we can't actively be involved, we can help promote or support, but we can't actively be involved. So we had a bunch of meetings trying to get them to put a base of businesses together that they would start having their own meetings and figure out what they could do, if they could put out brochures or what they could do to encourage the other businesses in town. And it just didn't work. Nobody would keep it up. Even Myra tried to add on to it when she was still in the Red Barn, and it just didn't work. No, it didn't catch on. You'd get the bakery one day, and then you'd get Palmer Coke and Cola the next time, and It never congealed into anything. So, yeah.
I like it when they do those after hours, business after hours programs. Those are always seem like they work well. And I want to, before we move on, just to address, you're right, and homeowners associations and the CCNRs in a lot of these subdivisions, they won't allow, in many cases, people to start home businesses. It's against their covenant code and restrictions. And if that is a layer that is legally binding to the people that live there,
right,
outside of the regulations for the local government zoning. So if a person, you know, lawfully could do that based on our comp plan and our zoning code, they could have a civil lawsuit brought upon them by their neighbor in their subdivision. And then that neighbor would produce the CCNRs, and the court would rule, would uphold that as illegal. So we don't need to be so concerned about whether or not we're consistent with the CCNRs.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm saying that all these new places and the Diamond Glen, Eagle Creek, Lawson Hills, they all have CCRs
that
would prohibit
this. And,
but there are probably, you know, neighborhoods where there they could have small business in the cottage industry in town.
That have businesses because we don't have CCNRs. Ours is
yeah, I just pulled up all of the business lists, you know, for this, and it's surprising how many businesses are around the lake. Yeah. Okay, so integrate and promote tourism and recreation into the economy. And we've got a strategy to improve and maintain signage, directional and interpretive.
And we're actually looking at a signage. It kind of broke down. We had a city administrator that worked on it a few years ago, and then it kind of broke down. I'm not really, I don't even remember why, but. Anyway, we're going to try to work on that again and have some of those signs that tell you where City Hall
wayfinding,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, wayfinding signs.
And he told me that the city couldn't come up with the money. And I said, well, maybe the businesses could all chip in money, but the businesses have never gotten organized enough to consider it.
Oh, well, that's been a problem, the organization of the business. Now, Harvey, you know a lot of people. Maybe you could organize the businesses. Oh, that's true.
So investing in public improvements to help create an inviting environment, such as clearly marked streets, good pathways between parking areas and businesses. Continue working with merchants to promote events to enliven businesses and tourism. Target infrastructure investment. Read that one. Work on business retention and expansion. Focus on the Gateway Overlay District and find ways to promote the scenic beauty, like a pullout to stop and photograph mountain. That is along Highway 169. And So you have your underlying zoning there, which is, you know, a commercial designation. And then over that stretch along Highway 169 is a gateway. And it has more, I don't want to say restrictive, but more details in permitting new construction there in terms of the setback and the, you know, that they have to kind of build a meandering path, buffer it. Well, the gateway overlay is what it's the land, you know, it's the private property development regulations. That it's not part of the right of way. It's if you want to, like we had a mini storage come in, or you know, someone that wanted to build a mini storage, and you know, there's so if you look at the commercial. The zoning regulations and the commercial zoning portion, but then there are also like some special things that like they can't block the mountain. They kind of have to have things set back and include a amenity for a pedestrian, and that's all on there. That's not in the state right away.
I think Commissioner McCain, you know, the city of Maple Valley is having a really difficult time with that property, that storage yard right on the south side or the north side of Four Corners. Because it's in their gateway commercial area, but it's a barbed wire fence.
Yeah.
You know, and people storing things. It's not appropriate for that business overlay part,
right.
Which I'm glad because they didn't have a plan that was in place at that point in time. that property owner has a vested right there, but it's not really appropriate. The city's offered to help them move to another location slightly off the highway, you know, to foster their pool vision for the city of Maple Valley. But it's, you know, it's a private property right issue. But it's good that we can talk about ours prior to having something like that that we have trouble contending with in the future. Excuse me.
But yeah, the wayfinding and whether or not you could actually get the state to allow you to have a pullout for photographing the mountain, I Commissioner Senegal, would be very difficult. But still, we want to leave that in as a strategy. Okay.
Commissioner Amber, why can't we encourage the state to put in a pullout? I mean, they do that all over the place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what you would have to do to make this happen.
Fall into the find ways.
Mm-hmm. So leverage the highway and capitalize on people traveling. Leverage Old Town.
Finally, stand out in the middle of the street to get everybody to stop.
Councilmember Pepper.
Try it.
I love the word leverage, but I wonder what in the two contexts here does it actually mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, give me an example of leveraging Old Town.
Well,
but for the moment.
When I
looking to the future,
what I think about that when I use the word leverage and think about it, it's like there's already a lot of investment in Old Town. With the street improvements, and so leveraging means from a perspective of funding and getting more money to make more improvements is you can use that in a grant application. You can say, we've put all this money and made this public investment, and we're going to use that and leverage that to get, if you, you know, will give us some more funding to do an even, you know, even more. That's kind of
okay.
The way that's
take a strength and capitalize on it.
Yes, yeah. But we could word it that way if you think that would be.
I don't object to the wording. I just was pulling a blank on on how to make that happen. So thank you.
So Councilmember Didi, okay. So back up to leverage highway to capitalize on people traveling north south along SR-169. So would that just be more like wayfinding signs that we would put up there? I mean.
How would you do that in that case?
Without making it look like it's just overabundance of a bunch of businesses, A-frame signs that they put out there, you know, that just go up and down the street. I mean, it's got to look tasteful for people to want to stop. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking some sort of wayfinding signs, like what Commissioner Senegal was saying, you know, the one out here at the Masonic Hall. You know, they have that wayfinding sign, so whenever a new business comes in, they get to put their sign up there, and that kind of helps people understand what's down in Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would be one way, certainly. And then also, we've got a main thoroughfare that's heavily traveled, and so how can we capitalize and capture people?
Yeah, you are now working all over the state, perhaps. And what do other towns do when they have this through highway? What do they do to capitalize on it? Well, but you see, some towns they have like things that look like important exits. They're not really exits, but they want you to go see this important thing, like the museum. I mean, they want you to come see our museum or something. I mean,
what they'll do is, you know, put some kind of art piece, some kind of a, something that just demarcates and attracts that this is you're entering into a new place, and certainly not letting things be junky is a huge deal.
Pepper here. I would say that I was involved in the city of Renton when they had a wayfaring people come in and do the signs in Renton. And if you're familiar with Renton, they had money to do half the city at that time. But it told you where parking was, told you where the sites were, and it was very interesting because I didn't think that signs were going to make that much difference.
But
it really makes a difference when people know where to park and they know where to get a donut and they know something's coming up that they just dearly ever wanted to see.
I work in Seattle. All the time in Seattle that drive through Black Diamond and Ian Quad go skiing, and that's what they do, drive through. How do they know what's here that would make them stop?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they've ever heard about is the bakery.
And I just want to say this. I'm not suggesting this for Black Diamond, but there was a little town up on Vancouver Island that was in our situation, except for that the road that went past cleared the town by like about 3 miles. And what they did was pretty incredible. They made murals on every side of every building, and they called themselves the mural capital of, you know, Vancouver Island. And they got a whole bunch of people to go and drive through town by doing that and even get out of their cars and walk around and look at all these old-time murals that were all over the place. And I'm thinking, well, if we're creative enough, one could think maybe of some other sort of things to do. And one of the things that there was actually a company, you guys won't know this, but there was actually a company when Father Chuck was up there at that church that brought people on buses to look at his gardens up there. And it was just gardens in the parking strips in a cement, you know, in a blacktop yard. I mean,
Council Member Dee. So that's true, Erica. And also Mrs. McLeod had her award-winning garden that brought in a lot of people into town as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was just thinking, you know, when you go into Enumclaw, and it's such a tight, you know, area downtown, one of the things I always notice is that they got the really nice hanging baskets that makes it feel calming and you want to stop and you just want to browse. So, you know, not just signs that we're going to put up, but I think that it would be good to have some aesthetically pleasing to just, you know, relax you as you're driving and think, oh, wow, I could probably want to stop in this city and check it out. Yeah.
We're stuck with it being in a state right of way.
More seasonal flags, yeah. How wide is that state right away?
I don't know, but I can look that up.
Well, then the Masonic property would be.
It's
not
too terribly wide.
On 169, it's not very wide. I mean, if the state wanted to widen, they would have to do eminent domain all the way up and down 169. So I would say maybe 10 feet. I mean, not. Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are in private property.
So we've got two strategies left to strive for non-branded corporate image by encouraging franchise and chain stores to fit into the city's historic image. We get there with design standards.
How can a franchise store be non-brand?
Thank you. That's Councilmember Weber. That's what I...
Non-branded corporate is in...
it's in parentheses. It's like when you go somewhere and you see a Starbucks or you see I've never seen a Walmart, but like a Walgreens or something in it. Yes. Yep.
And even their Safeway store did.
Someone said just to encourage franchise and chain stores. I mean, you could say require, not encourage. If you really wanted to be stronger about this, you want to require that? Okay.
Really?
Good, because that's a horrible red. No, we have, the city has some really good design standards that were, I mean, actually they're pretty good in terms of defining what that image, that historic image is. We'll have, yeah. We worked with the school district, so to make sure that new school building fit into the historic. Standards. Got to have it has a fake one, I think, but it had to have a pitch to the roof, and there were certain things that we said they had to have eaves, they had to have, some things that they didn't come in initially in their drawing. The kids.
Pepper here, I wanted to know if we take out non-branded corporate, does that make the statement strong enough? I mean,
well, we said.
Yeah, I'm asking from your point of view, with the things that you see, and cities think that they're doing something, but they take out the.
Yeah. I think that we're okay with that. I mean, I think the whole thing when we had the non-branded corporate image in there was
a little bit of overdub.
A little bit of overdub, exactly. Yeah. And so then honor and value the city's unique past and work to preserve it. Well, now the next pages are our goals and policies for economic development. So develop the goal one, develop and support a diversified economy to achieve a sound fiscal base and living wage jobs for the city's residents. So city's policy to ensure adequate supply of land to support a range of employment uses and economic activities. To work with public and private interests to identify and promote sites which can be suitably developed for a variety of local employment opportunities. To provide reasonable guidelines and standards for the siting of home-based businesses in residential neighborhoods without altering or impacting the residential character of the neighborhoods.
I would vote to strike that. I think that sort of we're taking the comp plan and imposing it on those areas that are already established. Just my idea.
So, Councilmember D, so if striking that out, so let's just say a person that's home wants to do a daycare or wants to make wood products, a wood shop out of their garage during certain times. I mean, would that then, striking all that out, be where they couldn't do that, or...
without a policy to address it.
So I think it would be good to leave it in
just so that we have a policy on if a homeowner in a development area or anywhere in town wants to do something that isn't going to affect the neighbors, is contained within the house, would be allowed to do, you know, with guidelines, obviously, you know, the city would have.
Yeah, Pepper here. I like the word reasonable in there. So it sounds like there's some, it's not going to be hard and fast or really super strict, but.
Councilmember Weber, I think that would be a separate, big, that's a kind of a separate issue. I think it would be good to have the policy because I think we've already talked about it quite a bit earlier that a lot of the new development is not going to be able to have home-based businesses. So for the small portion that's left, I guess, that has that opportunity, at least there's a policy that they can't go like crazy.
Amber, I'm thinking provide reasonable guidelines and standards. Isn't that just the four words that should just be codes? Provide codes for the siting of home-based businesses or reasonable codes? Because this is going to, that sounds to me like it's a function of the city council to decide the guidelines and standards and put that into a code. Otherwise, who's going to decide the reasonable guidelines and standards? There's a lot of ways to put your windows that would fit the historic context. And here's the guidelines for you to choose that are flexible. You wouldn't, so we have that, but that's not made part of the code because there's no flexibility there. So that's why they're both there. But or if you want to, if the city decided to come up with like a design review committee, just saying, you know, where that's who would start to decide these guidelines of, like, you know, no bright red houses or no, you know, that kind of stuff. Here's the color palette, but I don't know. I mean, we can certainly change that, but I think we do want to leave a policy that allows for siting of home-based businesses in residential buildings or neighborhoods. And maybe we don't need the rest of the sentence without altering or impacting, because that part is in code.
I kind of like this because I'm thinking this would give the city a place to begin when, for instance, that home-based business starts to have so much traffic coming in and out that it's no longer compatible with the rest of the neighborhood. So then the city could maybe come to them and say, well, your home-based business has outgrown your home. And, you know, maybe you could consider one of these other commercial properties in the commercial area of town to go on or something like that. And I'm thinking particularly of, we have one on Morgan Street many years ago now that was a chiropractor in his garage. And, you know, as long as he just had one patient there two or three times a week, that was no big deal. But there came a point when somebody wanted to come in with him to be there, to be an office person, and to have more stuff going on, and then that really outgrew. And it's never gone back to that. They moved out of town.
Commissioner McCain, could we possibly consider on that policy 1.3, maybe to stick with the first sentence and not go into the residential neighborhoods without altering or impacting? You know, it's usually parking, and it's drop-off and pick-up, and the UPS guy who comes five times a day. It's, you know, those are the things that people in residential neighborhoods find difficult. But I think we could provide reasonable guidelines and standards for the siting of home-based businesses, but not take this, the second part of that policy on, maybe?
So, Councilmember Yee, so I think it's good to leave that in, just so that everybody knows, so that's not, you know, our goal isn't to alter or impact the residents' character.
Yeah, it also gives people that are going to start that home business the idea that it can't all of a sudden raise its head with lots of traffic and lots of noise.
Or signs.
Well, or big
signs.
Right.
Now there is code for standards.
Councilmember Weber, I would, since this is a draft, I would suggest leaving it because we'll see possibly if there's public input on this.
So, let's see, 1.4, you guys had a chance to read through the rest of 1.4, enable and encourage low impact light industrial uses such as artist studios, commercial kitchens, small-scale manufacturing to locate in the city's designated commercial areas. I mean, it sounds probably silly to you, but there's, you know, the commercial areas right now are really sort of restrictive for things like this. They don't really fit anywhere. So, I think that our economic growth would benefit from this kind of stuff. So then we're going to recognize tourism and recreation as contributing to the economic diversity of the city,
promote healthy economy by supporting existing business and encouraging expansion. Determine a reasonable target population to jobs ratio and strive to achieve a balance between available. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Medical?
Yep.
How is the city going to encourage business expansion? What is that?
So, Councilmember Didi, I think that would go right back to where we discussed earlier on the city working with businesses, figuring out how to keep them here so they don't pack up and move to Maple Valley or Covington or somewhere else, but how to keep them here.
How's the city going to keep a business here? Either they're making money or they're not.
Well, if a business comes to the city and they say, we really like our area and we think, you know, we could possibly expand a little bit on our property, is there a way to do that? You know, or some sort of expansion, I think the city would definitely benefit to work with that business to keep them here.
Well,
you know, we don't want to lose.
Examples of that. If you look at the bakery, when that shop closed, and she converted that room into a banquet room, so that people could rent it if they use it and bought meals there, then they could use the banquet. So she had another business model. Then she came to us wanting to buy the property down below her.
She had to get approval from the city to do that.
Yes, she did.
She owns the whole building, didn't she?
Yes, she. But we had some difficulty with the previous inspector. So the new guy said he didn't see that it was any problem with the use because she was just expanding her business into that space that she owned. But there was some controversy over that early on. Then the other thing that happened is she came to us and she wanted to buy the property down below her to make more parking because she can never fill her business up because there's not enough parking. And so even though the Eagles Hall lets all the businesses use their parking, when they have events, then there's not parking for other people. So the parking thing didn't work out. That was an idea that she was trying to figure out if that would be something that she could expand her business. So that would be working with the city to try to help her business be more economically viable and keep her in town.
Okay.
Councilmember D, so another example would be like the Black Bear Outpost. That one time it was a hair salon. So Commissioner Ammons might want to go back and say to the city, my business is doing really good, but I think it would do even better if I added the hairstyle place back there. So then again, that's where you need the city to work with them. If the city said, sorry, Tori, we can't do that, she may pack up and say, well, there's a place in Maple Valley. Well, let me do that. So that's what I'm just saying. The city needs to work with businesses so that we keep them because we're lacking, but we keep what we have. And we encourage other businesses to want to come
I've
here.
I've heard stories that it was hard work at the city. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, we
had some problems. Has been for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything on policy 1.7 or 1.8 that anybody would like to talk about?
Commissioner Weber. I thought about this earlier, but for the goal one, the statement, mm-hmm. where it talks about a living wage job, how do you quantify what's a living wage job? Does the state have we declare this is a living wage job? Because what I consider a living wage job may not be what somebody else considers a living wage job. You know what I mean? It seems really ambiguous.
It actually isn't that ambiguous because you look at poverty levels and whether or not someone earning $5 an hour working full time would they fall below the poverty level?
Okay.
Yeah. Then they're not earning a living wage job.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you determine a reasonable
target? Well, yeah. We also addressed this in the housing element because, you know, it has to fit together. And it's a one-to-one ratio, basically. So we want to be able to look at, we haven't adopted a target number, and this would say that we would do that. And then what that would do is, and you may not want this policy in here at all, but that would mean that you would always have a target to be working towards. So you wouldn't continue expanding all your residential. I mean, you may come to a point where you don't have a whole bunch of vacant land left, and if it's all going to be zoned for housing, you may want to rezone some of that residential land, create some commercial land, because then you're going to balance that out.
As Councilmember Weber, given that explanation, I would like to see this policy stay. Residential development, I feel, initially, sure, it brings in all the money and all the people, but then you get into resource issues, which a lot of cities are having. So to have that flexibility to possibly limit some of the residential and be able to offer the commercial to offset that and keep that ratio, I think is important.
Yeah, right now, I kind of had to go back and refresh myself on some of the demographics and housing. We have one job for every three households here right now, which is extremely low, and we need to try to figure out how to get that up. Yeah.
So, Councilmember Davis, so could you go over policy 1-8, just explain that sentence?
Encourage the use of master planned projects to co-locate new commercial spaces with new housing units. What that is using the master plan development process, so that you're looking at not just a residential subdivision, but you're looking at, you're encouraging people to, if they have a big tract of land and they want to do a subdivision, instead of just steering them towards a subdivision, the city would encourage they go through master plan development. That's an overlay, but they're still in the code. If you have so many acres contiguous, I think it requires you to go through a master plan development process, which would mean they'd have to rezone to do that. We need to look at that.
Was it 200 acres?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I wrote a little note here. I said, do we really want to do this? It's the developer's idea. At one time, we wanted to have consolidated commercial. And, I'm just throwing that out. But at one time, we did want to have consolidated commercial because it's more village-like. And we were really strong on that.
Well, for a small town, it might be more village-like. But as you grow, you want rural by design.
Master planned projects, because I don't know if we have the zoning code for that anymore.
I don't either. I know we've got planned PUDs, planned unit development. We do need to look at that section of code because I think it's messy. But what this policy is trying to get us to is this really discouraging large residential subdivisions just in of themselves and trying to get them to do a commercial, yeah, or mixed use. Yeah. So goal 2, provide long-term committed leadership to implement economic development goals. Allocate sufficient resources to process development projects efficiently and professionally. Provide transparency, efficiency, uniformity of city regulations, policies, and procedures. Enable the establishment of new businesses and expansion of existing through fair, consistent, and timely permit processes. Initiate cooperative and collaborative economic development efforts with other governments, private corporations, nonprofit entities to identify innovative development methods and increase economic vitality. And then under that last goal, invest in public infrastructure and aesthetic improvements to demonstrate the city's commitment to providing a high quality of life for its residents.
Don't we already have that in here?
You might. I think it was a strategy. That was in the strategy, and we just turned it into a, yeah, so we just turned it into a policy. So goal three, stimulate economic development by leveraging local resources, amenities, and assets. So policy to emphasize and enhance the role of the historic district as the heart of the community, make it the place to be for social and civic activities by creating pedestrian-friendly spaces, encouraging pedestrian. Well, look at that. I didn't finish my policy. I left us hanging. Anybody want to finish that or clean that up?
I think the first two lines are fine, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Walkability.
Let's see. We've got a place to be. Social civic activities, creating pedestrian-friendly spaces, period. Okay. Policy 3-2, value and preserve the historic district to create a visible link to the city's unique past. Prioritize bicycle and pedestrian facility improvements that connect the historic district with surrounding residential areas. Good. Recognize Black Diamond's unique cultural, historic, recreational, and environmental assets as important marketing and image-building tools. Encourage the continuation and expansion of events, promotions, and holiday festivals, and strive to market them as unique experiences to residents and visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Councilmember Dia, I think that our post out on 169 and I think by the library also has where you can hang the flags. I think that, you know, even for Tough Mudder, even if they wanted to purchase the flags to go down 169 Tough Mudder event, you know, anything to encourage, you know, our festivals, even Miners Day, Labor Day already has the signs out. But we need to use those flag poles more, so that we draw people in to understand things that happen in Black Diamond that might encourage them to drive around a little more.
And also maybe you want to think about doing more city sponsor of some of these events, because right now the city only sponsors,
Labor Day.
Yeah.
As Councilmember Weber, I would agree that it would be nice, since the Tough Mudder's build is, you know, Seattle event, it would be nice to find or see if there's some way to, you know, kind of say, yeah, it's Seattle, but it's in Black Diamond, kind of, you know, and kind of capitalize.
There's no hidden message there that it's Seattle. They call it Seattle for the geographical area, but when you go to their website to sign up, it's all Black. And it's all over their shirts and their advertising and everything. It says Black Diamond.
Yeah, that's good.
But, Councilmember D, but like you're saying, Councilmember Weber, it's you know, so if we did the signs, you know, a month before the event even, you know, that, you know, it would be good advertisement for just, you know, not just what they're doing online, but just to get more people to understand all the activities that are happening.
Piggyback on some things, even if you could.
Sponsor bike races to the courses out there.
Well, we used to have extra, and they got the prices of the market. So we had Xterra, which was a total triathlon, or I don't think it was a full triathlon, I think it was a half triathlon. triathlon, so swimming, biking, and running, and they didn't want to pay for the police to be able to supervise, even though they loved the course. And, you know, they got to be able to pay for the facilities. They have to pay for the police. And Tough Mother has never argued about that, so Tough Mother.
Big enough participant level.
So if they can take it.
But still, we don't charge. That was never a very big charge for the police. I think they were cheap. Three, six. Recognize local arts and cultural programs as a contribution to the city's economic diversity by expanding and supporting cultural experiences and investments in tourism. Identify and encourage the preservation of land, sites, and structures that have historical, cultural, scenic, and or archaeological importance. Increase the amount of retail and service sales occurring within by promoting the city's locally produced goods and unique services.
Can we maybe expand that to just increase the amount of retail and service sales? Not just promoting locally produced goods and unique services, but through coming up with a gimmick.
A brand or a gimmick or something.
Something to attract people. Well, not, no, it wasn't look like Leavenworth. I use Leavenworth as an example.
Right. But somehow branding.
My stick was lowering the sales tax in the city portion of the sales tax, so that because that is what some of the local cities do, like Puyallup and Sumner. They say, well, we've got lower sales taxes than Seattle, and but not by much. I mean, cut it down and make it low and make up that difference in volume. And then you'll encourage retail stores to come here and set up, because that lower sales tax will encourage to come out here and at least see what's going on, and once they get out here, they'll just buy. But you don't have that lower tax on food, or if you've got a Walmart, not Walmart, but like a Walgreens or the Cenex, that would all be at the regular 8.6 rate, but specialty stores. You can create a specialty taxing district. No, the city's getting over 2. The state rate is 6.5.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so I think my observation of that is Sumner and Puyallup have they have a big base already. Black Diamond is still pretty small, and to cut any taxes would severely hurt the city, but only after advertising and only after trying to get people to come out. I mean, So
we used to, yeah.
Because when we first moved here, we paid the old
Councilmember Deedy. One of the things I think that the city could do. One of the things, Councilmember Deedy, here with promoting the city's businesses, I'm going to go back to those flagpoles that are sitting there empty, is talking to businesses and saying, you know, would you like, if you spent the money to buy flags for $169, we would put them up, and then if you got enough businesses to do that, you could say for 3 weeks it would be the Black Bear Outpost, and for 3 weeks it would be Senex or the antique store in Old Town or the bakery. Mm-hmm. But something where the city already has the means to put it up, but the businesses got together and they said to the city, hey, we want to put a nice sign that the city would say, this is what, you know, the sign needs to be this big and this size, and then promote the businesses that way.
So what is our tax here?
2.1.
That's I think right around, it may be a little bit lower, but by 0.2. But I was thinking drop it significantly lower. And you take an initial hit to start with, but I mean you're looking at a long term, and you get the tourist traffic coming in. That would be your gimmick. And you get the tourist traffic coming in if you're spending their money at the restaurant.
Do you think it would be enough?
Yeah.
For the consumer at one point?
You wouldn't have the lower tax on restaurants. Mm-hmm. And people are going to, once they get out here, they're going to, you know, they'll look at the shop, they'll buy stuff, they'll eat at the restaurants. Yeah, you'd have big ticket items, you know, you'd have retail stores like Sleep Train. And no, but you could if you encouraged them to come out here, and you could have the Maserati dealer open a store here.
Probably years in the future.
Somebody's going to save $20,000 in tax on a $300,000 car.
I didn't know there was just one Maserati.
Yeah, I would if the sales tax.
Would you?
Really?
Jaguar. Okay, let's move on to policy or goal 4, prioritize infrastructure improvements to sites which provide the greatest development capacity for potential property development to create greatest possible returns in extending and providing service. So that would help. That would help. That's a goal that would help when you're doing your cities doing at CIP, kind of guiding that. Focusing on these policies, then focusing the investment in infrastructure and services that align with projected population, housing, and job growth targets. Prioritize infrastructure improvements within the SR 169 corridor and historic district. Encourage.
I'm sorry. Just interrupt me. Commissioner McCain, is there any other infrastructure improvements that need to be done in the historic district? Or I thought we have already completed most of those.
We still have some
little pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we still have excessive pipes. We have a
some of that work. And so every year we continue to try to improve the infrastructure to all of the areas that we possibly can. So one year we might do it down by the bakery in Old Town, and the next year we try to do it up in Blossom Hills or up where the strip mall is. So we kind of try to focus those projects, move them around, so we're improving the infrastructure all over town all the time.
So should we modify that policy 4-2 to say that, or is the 169 corridor and the historic district, are they the two areas that we want to section, separate out of the rest of this, or draw attention to?
This focuses, refocuses what you've been doing a little bit. And it kind of supports the strategies, but.
Almost 100% of all the infrastructure. So that doesn't even have to be addressed in this.
I think this is kind of saying that, you know, you're gonna prioritize where you're gonna get a return on the investment first, which would be your commercial areas and the historic area that you're gonna leverage. And so maybe the areas that are residential and they're not gonna return, I mean, that's a real policy shift from what you've been doing right now. So I don't know if you're on board with that or not, Council.
But. Commissioner McCain, I only have a challenge to that because there are definitely some properties inside the city that need those infrastructure improvements,
mm-hmm.
that they don't have huge, like, a retail revenue or sales tax revenue, but for people to build new houses on those properties does add to the real estate tax that's being paid. So I think it's important to consider the overall look of our city to have improved roads and adequate storm drain is probably important to our old part of our city as well as to stuff that's new.
That's a tough balancing act, though. You're right. So what do we want to do with the policy board?
I would probably my vote would be just to, I would say just stay within the city and then have the projects be prioritized as they need to be to accomplish whatever specific goal is at the time.
Within the city. Okay.
Of getting grant money because of them doing improving different areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, encourage, so we're going to strike the rest of that and just say within the city. Encourage full utilization and development of designated commercial industrial areas and take advantage of areas where significant infrastructure investments have already been made. That gets to that leveraging business. Foster partnerships with community leaders and business to explore equitable cost-benefit trade-offs between private and public sector interests for the cost involved in the provision of water, sewer, access roads, fire, police protection, and the public benefit which may be realized by the creation of local jobs and increased tax revenue. That is a long sentence to say that sometimes public-private partnerships would benefit where city may actually be putting some money in to subsidize.
I like that.
Coordinate with the Washington Department of Transportation and adjacent cities to plan for access improvements, intersection improvements, and infrastructure maintenance in the SR 169 corridor.
support.
Oh, and Commissioner McCain, mm-hmm. and I think what would be really important is to have some park and some additional park and ride facilities.
Mm.
We have these huge buses, those articulated buses up and down this highway all the time, but no park and ride facilities. Maple
well,
Valley's. The new ones that they just put in, you mean? Oh, oh.
Park and ride facilities during the week because they're not heavily used during the week.
That would be awesome.
Okay. Selling properties in the city and attracting businesses, et cetera. Is level of service for our fire department ever a factor that would keep business out? Because that's something.
To answer your question, there is an assumption that a city has viable police and fire protection. So that doesn't really come up as an issue, but it had come up on with a client who wanted to build a hotel, three stories, but we don't have a fire truck that's tall enough to accommodate three stories. So it did come into conversation one time, because I think it's a 44-foot building height that's achievable now in the city because we don't have a ladder. We don't have the appropriate fire equipment. But I think it is an assumption for businesses in general just to assume we have adequate fire and police protection.
So fire and police protection are public services. We could say public services instead of that.
Yeah.
Commissioner Ackbert, I have a question about in the SR 169 corridor, what about people to go east-west? You know, I travel west to, on Kent Black Diamond Road or whatever Roberts turns into. And that's going to become a real problem in the future.
Yeah.
So I think concentrating on just the one corridor omits the other corridors. That's what I'm suggesting.
Fire and police protection. Is that kind of what you're where you're going with that? Trying to cover something that. Infrastructure.
Councilmember Weber, I see what you're saying. Is that something we could list possibly as a weakness? Like if you go back to that first page. At least, yeah, that would. I think that would maybe cover what Commissioner Senecal is talking about, because it is a deficiency.
Yeah.
a fact that they're not adequate?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that presentation. So.
And Councilmember Deedy, and in putting that in our deficiency area, it also shows, you know, that anybody that's going to build in Black Diamond a business or even a house will have to put in a sprinkler system if they're far enough away. You know, I put in a sprinkler system in my home because the fire department requested that. So putting that in there, we'll let the businesses know, okay, that's the extra added expense. And it's a big expense.
For a house, it's like $10,000. So for a business,
it's 3 or 4 times more.
That's a good point, because oftentimes when a business is doing their feasibility, if they know what their expenses are going to be up front, it may still pencil out for them. But you don't want to not tell them something like that and then have them come in, because then all of a sudden they're going to have to leave. They're going to have to go redo their feasibility. So that's a good point.
Yeah. So Councilmember D, so when I built my home 20 years ago, my husband and I, it was a surprise you got to put a sprinkler system in. But it is beneficial to everybody, whether you're a business or a resident, to know that you're in an area that has, not, that is not adequately supplied by a fire hydrant or a fire response time to have to put in those sprinkler systems.
Commissioner McCain, oh, I'm sorry. When does the new fire station kick in with the MPV? The one here on the city shops, we've seen the plans. Do you know, Carol,
theirs won't kick in until, and I don't remember what the number of homes is, 750. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fire department would like the city to build a fire station first. But it's not going to be up by the gym and where the, because that is not enough property. So they are, right now, we still have our fire ad hoc committee meetings. And they're looking for property that will fit, that will be in Lawson Hills area. And so, and there are several pieces of property that are available, and one of them is owned by Oak Point. So, and it might work. But they're just trying to put a plan together so that when there's enough population, the city can do a bond issue to get another fire station. So they're looking into how much it's going to cost. I mean, it's a huge project just to figure that out.
Yeah.
So you got to find the property, find out how much it'll cost, how big it's going to be. It's got to be bigger than the fire station on Lake Sawyer, because the equipment keeps getting bigger and bigger, and you want to have one that's in the core of the city that's manned 24 hours. So it's a big project.
Councilmember Deedy, so when the 750 homes kick in and Yarrow or Oak Point builds, I believe that fire station is built out there around
the village,
there.
You mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Tentrail. Tentrails?
Yes.
So even after Oak Point builds that fire station, Black Diamond is still deficient in a fire station to cover your residents of Lawson Hill and out at, help me with the other housing development, out on Ravensdale.
Morgan Creek,
yeah. So we're still deficient in the old town, I guess you would call it. So once Oak Point hits their target, that fire station is built out there. So that's where we're still deficient.
The city still has to figure out what
yes.
it's going to do. Yeah. Yeah. So then the last 4.6, policy 4.6, support local business development efforts and property investment projects and programs. balance economic development with environmental protection in a manner that enhances quality of life as Black Diamond grows. I'm going to spell Black Diamond out. I don't know. I just didn't go back and catch my BD. Policy 5.1, encourage the use of green materials and techniques and low-impact development in all types of construction to increase the city's green job employment sector. Encourage citywide solid waste reduction and recycling methods and opportunities.
So, Councilmember Dean, so on 5.2, encourage citywide solid waste reduction and recycling methods and opportunities. I don't quite know how the city would encourage businesses or even residential. For recycling, the city would have to have a policy where it says that, like, all businesses have to recycle. And then, you know, whatever recycling company you have, they then wouldn't pick up if the business didn't separate their materials. So that's the only way I can see how the city.
But we don't have our own garbage.
Well, you could do it through waste management and tell waste management the policy of the city is that the businesses. So, but I'm just saying, so how do we encourage, how do you do that? I mean, what is the city going to do to offer a business to recycle?
I was just going to say education is what you do, yeah.
Well,
we've already sent out our recycle thing that we do, our drunk recycle, that's
not the main. Well, I'll give an example, just as the Eagles Hall. They
right.
do not recycle. Their Labor Day event, I sorted through too many bags that I didn't want to mention and put them in every container I could have at my house before my brother hauled it off to the dump. So I just think in the newsletter and everything is one thing, but I think it has to come down to the bottom dollar. And some businesses in this city that have a lot of recycle are not going to pay that $300 extra a month to have them come out and get it. So we got to figure out a way to work with the businesses to recycle. If that is truly the city's goal, is to be a green city, how are we going to get?
So how do we get them to recycle?
Well. Well, you get companies to recycle because the owner. Cost is a little bit, they don't really say, it doesn't really save a lot of money. To get the owner of the business or somebody at the business needs to spearhead it. And if you mandate recycling, like, let's say the Eagle Hall, let's say they don't want to go through the hassle of it. You can mandate it, but they don't have to do it because you cannot snoop through their garbage to find out if they're recycling. Seattle tried that. The only way is to essentially shame the
I was going
to
say that, shame them.
Pepper here. Whoa. Pepper here. I think, what about incentives go the other way? Incentives for companies that do recycle. And I don't, who picks up their garbage? As a private citizen, I have to put one pile of garbage here and one pile of garbage here and one pile of garbage here, and if they don't like what you have, they charge extra.
That's
so
that is regulated by the Utilities and Transportation
right, Commission. Right.
Which is waste management. We have certain waste management, but we do not require everybody in the city to have garbage pickup, and it's really hard to enforce it in a little city like this.
But
in a big city like Seattle, you can just say everybody has garbage service and you have to recycle and you have to do it according to the rules. But those people that don't do it, I mean, we've got neighbors. Not all of our neighbors recycle or use waste management. They go to the dump.
I don't know how that works because the city does not have their own city garbage. They still use waste management.
Right.
But a series of in, but.
But not everybody contracts with waste management. I do.
The city says you have to.
Well, our city
in
does.
In Seattle.
They say you have to use it, but you have to have a contract with them. You have to negotiate a contract and hope that the people.
You're saying that Black Diamond can't tell citizens that they have to have a contract.
No. The hauler. Right now, the city of Black Diamond is under the state licensing agency, which means this area was given to what is now Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And so Republic is the only company that can haul garbage in this area. Now, the city could put out for a bid and just ask. I mean, you could just put a notice in the little Voice of the Valley or whoever your local paper is, just say we would like bids on you don't have to go through the $2 million RFP process. You just put a notice in the paper saying, you know, we would like to entertain bids for garbage and recycling service in the city. And then you look at whatever comes in, and if you don't like any of them, you stay with your under the state franchise area.
I don't really know what the process is for all of the citizens to do that, but I think it's a pretty extensive process.
Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you charge, since we have our own utilities, a lot of times they'll just charge that in the utility bill,
right.
And so the person pays it. You know, they have to pay it to keep their utilities. It's
and
part of their utility.
Department.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if they choose not to put a garbage can out for pickup, they're still paying the monthly fee.
So everybody would get a garbage can and a recycling can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're paying for it. If they want to haul their own stuff to the dump, that's up to them.
Yeah. Because you can't pay. So, Councilmember D, I did like Councilmember Pepper's statement about an award system, incentive. So something that the city says, recognizes that these businesses, you know, and just not start with homeowners, but these businesses are working to get rid of their recyclables in a manner that, you know, helps our environment. So I think. Yeah, I think that would be good.
Or could highlight that.
Yeah.
Recognition is a really powerful tool.
Very first starting up. When I went to high school in Des Moines, recycling was handled by the high school kids. They bought a building and they did the recycling out of that building. And everybody got on the bandwagon because you were supporting the kids and they were, you know, taking the cans and the plastic and all that, getting a little small amount of money for it.
Do we want to leave that alone, or were you leaning towards, like, we can't do this?
No, I just
okay.
didn't understand, you know, so it was put in there. So I just wanted to understand what the goal was, you know, how are we going to encourage them? And I think Councilmember Pepper's idea is a valuable one, you know, is one that could possibly get businesses to recycle.
Yeah. And like you said, that's where it starts. Somebody, you know, there's a lot of people that believe in doing that. A lot of your customers probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just set up a new customer today, and it was the front office lady. She wants to do it, and the owner of the business didn't care one way or the other, but she spearheaded the project and wanted to do it. And all gung-ho happy. She's going to go out there and make sure everything's nice and clean. And
Do you? Good.
So, Council Member D, so just with what you just stated, I would be more apt to visit a company that would recycle versus one that does not recycle. You know, I've been known to take home my recycling items from a store because I know that they're not going to recycle it. So, you know, I would definitely, you know, visit a store that recycled and I knew it versus one that did not.
Right. So policy 5.3, develop and maintain regulations that allow for continued economic growth while respecting the environment and quality of life in Black Diamond.
This is Councilmember Weber. I would like to see the word respecting change to protecting, because that would also go with the title of BDG 5 that says development with environmental.
And 5.4, promote the efficient use of services and resources, including conserving water and energy, reducing waste, and work cooperatively with local business to help protect the natural environment. We did it. We got another one down.
I wanted to ask a question of Barb. Is parking under weaknesses again? I would put parking, but I don't know if infrastructure is considered parking.
I think it should be separate. So parking under weakness?
I don't know if anyone agrees, but it's something.
I think I'm hearing a lot of a, yeah.
Because if we're pushing the story core.
Anywhere I want to go.
Parking.
For example. Yeah.
You know, and that was the problem of, it would have been really cool to have had the farmers market locate down in that core, but the parking for these existing businesses, you couldn't accommodate both. Ready.